Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right. We began on Wednesday night looking at the three times in the Word of God that the word miserable is recorded. We found it the first time over in the book of Job, chapter 16 and verse number 2. The Bible said, "I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all." I don't have time to go back and recap all of that, but what we find in the book of Job was Job had three so-called friends. And when Job was down and there was a contest going on between the Lord and Job, and Job was losing his children, he was losing his fortune, he had lost his health, these guys all come and accuse Job of being a hypocrite, accused him of having some kind of sin in his life and all of that. And Job said, "Miserable comforters are ye all." That's the first time the word miserable is listed in the Word of God. We talked about on Wednesday night how that God is the God of all comfort, and that our comfort comes from the Lord. But not only does it come through our faith, it comes through our friends. Aren't you glad there are friends that stick closer than a brother? The Bible said to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. And I believe that God's people cherish the friends that they have. So we call that lesson, that first one, no help. Job was in a mess, but there was no help. And not as far as looking this way. Job's help was going to come in chapter 42 when he looked that way. Amen. No help. But we know today that we've read the second time in the Word of God that the word miserable is used. I hope you'll give me about 25 or 30 minutes to preach this morning and let me bring out what God's put in my heart. But we find here there's no hope. The Word of God said in this life only we have hope in Christ. We're of all men most miserable. So there's two things that are going to make a person miserable. No help, number one, and no hope, number two, in the Word of God. And the good Lord willing, we'll get to the third thing tonight. The first thing I want to say to you today as we look at the text, thank God, God's people have hope. And we have no reason to be a miserable people. We ought to be the happiest, most joyous people on the face of the earth. The word of the Lord said the joy of the Lord is our strength. The word of the Lord said that we're not to sorrow as others which have no hope. We'll get to that later in the message. But the Bible is teaching us three things here that I believe ought to encourage us this morning. There's a resurrection day coming. How many believes that? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And I'm not miserable because I know there's a resurrection day coming for the children of God. By the way, beloved, let me just say this. There's a resurrection day coming for those that are not the children of God. We don't believe in a general resurrection. We don't believe we're going together. Amen. We believe the dead in Christ will be raised first, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. Those that are alive and remain will be changed. We'll meet the Lord in the air. But we do that. We believe that every man will stand before God, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, "Preacher, why do you believe a resurrection day is coming?" Number one, the Bible tells me so. Listen, that ought to be good enough. But Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." You say, "Preacher, what's the gospel?" Well, the gospel is this. Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Thank God Almighty, it's not just a song, because he lives. I live also this morning, amen. And I'm going to live as long as God does. I'm going to live forever, eternally, in the presence of God. The Bible tells us. Number two, the brethren told us. You see, the Bible said he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Some had already passed away, even when Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. So the Bible tells us there's a resurrection day coming. The brethren told us there's a resurrection day coming. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Listen to the bride of Christ. Oh, beloved, listen. We're listening for the trumpet. We're listening for the shout. You ask me how I know he lives, I tell you, thank God the Bible said so. But he lives within my heart. Amen. He found us dead in our trespasses and sin and breathed life into us. Life abundantly and life eternally. Amen. He lives within our hearts. Let me give you this. Talking about miserable. This is what really how the Lord confirmed that I was to preach this morning. I thought about picking it up tonight or maybe picking it up next Wednesday night because there's a difference in the congregation from Sunday morning, Sunday night to Wednesday night. But listen, God put this in my heart. The second thing I want to tell you about this, the Bible said here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. There were people that were creeping into the church at Corinth that were denying the doctrine of the resurrection. And Paul said, listen, our preaching's vain if there's no resurrection. Your faith is vain if there's no resurrection. Let me put it in East Tennessee language. Listen, if Jesus didn't get up and we ain't going to get up, why don't we take the pews out and turn it into a dance hall? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, thank God. He did get up and we're going to get up and we worship on the first day of the week because that's the day Jesus got up out of the grave. Amen. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The second thing I want to give you, not only is there a resurrection day coming, but there's a reckoning day coming. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Beloved, there's a lot of people in this world that have no hope. And they don't realize, beloved, listen, when you die, they'll say, well, it's all over. Oh, no. Honey, I'm going to tell you what, that rich man, he wished it's all over when he died. But he lift his eyes in hell. He didn't lift his eyes in hell because he was rich. He lift his eyes in hell because he rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Abraham was rich, but he was in the presence of God. And Lazarus was poor, but he was in the presence of God. It's not your wealth. It's not your wisdom that determines whether you go to heaven or not. It's Christ and Christ alone and what you do with him. Amen. You receive him, you'll go to heaven. You reject him, you'll go to hell. There's a reckoning day coming. Let me give you this. A couple things the Lord spoke to my heart about. First of all, there's a misused hope. Did you know there's people, even today, that take this precious old book right here and misuse it? I said a misused hope. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Listen to what the Bible said. Job chapter 8, verse 13. So are the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. In other words, beloved, there's a living hope. That's what I have. That's why I'm not miserable. But there's such a thing as the hypocrite's hope. You say, preacher, what in the world is the Bible talking about? Well, let me just give you some modern day examples. Job said in chapter 27, verse 8, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. The Bible said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, a man that lifts his eyes in hell would give everything he ever had in this world if he could get out and have another opportunity to trust Jesus. What's going on here? A misused hope. Well, let me just give you some examples. I think you'll get this if you've been paying attention to what's going on in our world. There are people today that act like the Bible is relevant when it comes to the poor in our society. Now listen to me carefully. I heard them talking the other day. We need to get out these verses about the poor. Now listen to me. I think we ought to be concerned about the poor. And I think God give us in the Word of God what we need to do. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You ever turn this gospel into a social gospel, you've missed it. I said you've missed it. If you turn it into a social gospel, there needs to be a balance. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Listen to what I'm going to say. They act like the Bible is relevant when it comes to the poor in our society, but they completely disregard the Bible when it comes to the perverseness in our society.
That's the statement God gave me. Oh yeah, we're going to use the Bible when it's to our advantage. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. But if you're going to talk about a sodomite, oh, God accepts that. And you'll have to take that up with God. You're going to talk about, listen, beloved, what's going on in this world, the shacking up and everything else, beloved, and the adultery and the fornication and the drunkenness and the drugs and the witchcraft. I was told last week, Sister Shelby sent me a text. There's a sign that said, don't try church, try Satan. And then give you a website to look at. This society has a lot of perverseness in it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take what this Bible has to say about dealing with the poor. Yes, sir, it's right. But I'm also going to take what this Bible says about dealing with the perverseness in our land. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be careful with that television. If you're not careful, you'll let stuff go on that thing in your living room that you wouldn't let two people come and do in your living room in front of your kids. Amen. I'm telling you, they're miserable because they have not the hope of the Word of God, but a hypocrite's hope. Give me another statement here. Give you a statement the Lord give me. They act like it's the end of the world when a child is separated from his illegal parents. But they have no problem at all tearing a child apart in the mother's womb. What is that, preacher? It's a hypocrite. That's what it is. You say, preacher, you'll get in trouble. I'm telling you, the day's coming swiftly where God's men will stay in trouble for preaching the truth. That's a hypocrite's hope. Pick up the Bible and shed your tears of compassion. Let me tell you something, beloved. I go out here this afternoon and I get drunk and I run over somebody on the highway. I'm going to be separated from Sawyer, separated from Olivia, separated from Amelia, separated from Ava, separated from my children, separated from my wife. It's a part of doing that which is criminal. Oh, they want the Bible when it talks about a parent being taken away from its child. But they don't want the Bible when they're talking about, nowadays they don't even have to go inside of the mother. You can let the baby come plumb out and then tear it apart. I'm telling you, it's a hypocrite. It's a hypocrite. It's a hypocrite. It's not the hope of the Word of God. It's a hypocrite's hope, and the Word of God said it will perish. That's no wonder people are miserable. Let me give you this. How many's paying attention to what's going on in our world? Listen, they act like a gun in a man's hand is the problem. When the truth is, the problem's not the gun in the man's hand. It's the garbage that's in the man's heart. You say, preacher, you fired up? No, I have a hope that's real. My hope is not hypocritical. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Beloved, let me tell you something. It's not the weapon in that man's hand. And you say, preacher, you're getting political. No. It's the wickedness in that man's heart. Take all the weapons away. Oh, you say, oh boy, they're going to report this. You know why? Because it's convenient and it works with their agenda. But you let somebody take a knife and nobody's hollering about taking all the knives. You let somebody take a truck and run up on the sidewalk and run over 40 or 50 people. Nobody's hollering, take away all the truck. The problem in our society is not the knives. It's not the truck. It's not the gun. It's the wickedness. It's in a man's heart. It's a hypocrite's hope. That's what it is. Oh, beloved, there are those that have no hope and they're miserable. It's a misused hope. Secondly, it's a misplaced hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse 24, Job 31. If I have made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, thou art my confidence. Brother Thurman, a lot of people's got their hope in the stock market. They got their hope in their job. They got their hope in their gold, and there's no hope in the God that created them. They're worshiping the creation and forgetting about the Creator that made it all. The Bible is talking about a reckoning day. Beloved, there's a reckoning day coming. You can mark it down. We don't need to get all tied up with what's going on. Listen to me carefully. We don't need to get all down in the dumps over it, because there's a reckoning day coming. God will take care of it. You mark that down, beloved. God will take care of it. Thirdly, it's a misunderstood hope. There's a reckoning day coming for a misused hope, a misplaced hope, a misunderstood hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let's go now to the TV evangelist. I'm talking about a misunderstood hope. Those that will tell you, well, if you're saved and you're living right, how many believe Job was saved? I believe, brother, the reason, Brother Steve, that the contest went on concerning Job, I believe he was about as righteous man as you could find on the earth at that time. Satan wasn't looking to pick on the second guy on the ladder. He wanted the top guy on the ladder. And it's a misunderstood hope when people go through this world listening to that garbage that says, well, if you love God and you live for God, oh, beloved, listen, the finances will always be there after you send us $200. Listen, ain't nobody believes in tithing any stronger than I do. You say, preacher, why do you believe in it? Because the Bible teaches it. I told my little grandson last week, he found out something, Brother Steve. He works at Pizza Plus. He found out the government wants part of his check. He was tore out of the frame. He said, Papaw, they took over $35. Yeah, we're grinning, because we're thinking of that old song, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. But baby, I mean, he's with me, amen. You ain't seen nothing yet. I said, Avery, let me tell you something else, son. He said, what's that? I said, 10% of your check belongs to God. He said, are you kidding me? I said, Avery, I wouldn't kid about such things. I said, do you have any confidence in your pastor? He goes over to Greenville. He said, yeah. I said, go ask Brother Joe Sunday morning. If I get $10, is a dollar of it supposed to go to God? I said, go ask him. He said, seriously? I said, seriously, Avery. I said, if you want God to bless your life and you want God to magnify his glory in your life and his blessings, you need to obey him. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I didn't tell Avery. Avery, if you'll do this, son, you'll never have any trials. You'll never have any tribulations. I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, why does that mess upset you so badly? Number one, it's a lie. Yeah. The Word of God nowhere teaches that. Nowhere does the Word of God teach that. Matter of fact, it teaches just the opposite. All them that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer. Now listen to me carefully. You say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good today. Hang around. It ain't going to be long and you're going to get a phone call that'll turn your world upside down. It ain't going to be long till somebody leaves the house and don't come back. It ain't going to be long till you go in a doctor's office and the doctor comes out shaking his head. You say, preacher, that's depressing. Not if your hope's in the right place. When that guy held that pistol under that preacher's chin trying to rob him, and the preacher said, son, you can't scare me with heaven. You know what was going on? That man's hope was not in his revival. It was not, beloved, listen, in the church. It was not in the things of this world. He was saying, son, if you pull that trigger, the next thing I see will be Jesus. It was told that the young man trembled and ran out of that motel room. God help us. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope Beloved, it's beyond the grave. Why art thou cast down? Listen to this misunderstood hope. Psalm 42, verse 5. I'm trying to hurry. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I believe it's a misunderstood hope. And the reason a lot of it's misunderstood is because of teaching that does not line up with the Word of God. How many believes Joe Redman loves God? How many believes he loved God before he had to have surgery? How many believes he loved God while he was having surgery? How many believe he loved God after having surgery? I look back here, Miss Brenda, you've had some kind of surgery, honey. I can see. I know Nita didn't hit you hard enough to put a bandage on you over there. Amen. I know that. I see y'all hugging each other's neck. Amen. But listen, trouble's going to come. Job said it like this in so many words. All this, yet trouble came. Don't matter if you go to church. Trouble's still going to come. You saved? Trouble's still going to come. But let me tell you something. There's a day coming soon. This is our hope. Our trouble's over. Hallelujah. We're out of here. At home. Home at last. I think about a couple of things real quickly. I didn't even realize I put that in the note. But anyway, listen. A couple of things real quickly. Try to illustrate. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? Tim Lee was in Vietnam. Anybody ever heard of Preacher Tim Lee? He preaches in a wheelchair. Sister Sandy, he takes his little stump right here. He doesn't have any legs. They're both gone. I never can forget this. It always stuck out to me. Brother Tim is like Brian with his hands. You know how Brian, he can't talk without his hands. I mean, his hands are just going everywhere when he's teaching. I like it. Tim's the same way when he's preaching. So what's he do? Brother Thurman, he takes that little stump, and he's got the ability to lift it up. He sticks his Bible right there. Then when he needs his Bible, he gets his Bible out and turns it back open. He reads his Bible, takes that little stump, picks it up, holds his Bible in his wheelchair with that little stump. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? How many believes that Tim Lee at times gets down? Why art thou cast down? David Ring was born with cerebral palsy. Listen, you ought to Google him and find a, I guess you can. Jerry Falwell had him on his program for many years. Google David Ring. If you get a chance, listen to the sermon, I'm not okay and you're not okay. It's a blessing. He's got a suit on, much like I do. Born with cerebral palsy. He preached the message, I'm not okay and you're not okay. And when he got into the message, he said, everybody says, how you doing? I'm doing okay. He said, I'm not okay and you're not okay. He started preaching. He pulled his coat off. His long sleeves were just shredded underneath the coat. He said, underneath, all of us are going through some things. We say okay, but down inside, I'm not okay and you're not okay. I'll never forget it. He pulled his shoe off, Sister Rachel, and he stuck his foot up like that. And out of the whole front half of his foot, there was no sock. It was just sticking up. He said, see there, you couldn't see it, but I'm not okay, and you're not okay. What I'm trying to say is, beloved, how many believes at times David Ring said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? How many believes that? He'd stand up and he'd say this. He'd say, I got cerebral palsy. What your excuse? I'm not mocking the man. I'm trying to tell you something like it sounded like. At the end of his sermon, he would always sing Victory in Jesus. One day, the lady at the piano said, what key? He said, don't matter. I'll be in all of them before I get done. And when he sang Victory in Jesus, there was not a dry eye in the house. How many believes that man of God at times was cast down? What about our brother Brian? Boy, he sounded good this morning. Good to hear his voice. But I promise you this. There have been some days when he was cast down. When his back was on the mat. And he felt like every imp in hell had jumped on him. I'm just telling you this morning, beloved, that our hope is not in this world or the things of this world. Our hope is in heaven. It's not a hypocrite's hope. It's a hope in God. I give you two things so far. There's a resurrection day coming. There's a reckoning day coming. Let me give you this and I'm done. Praise God. There's a reunion day coming. I said there's a reunion day. I didn't plan on doing this. I didn't plan on doing this. But I want everybody in the house right now. Everybody that's got somebody over yonder with Jesus. And you can't wait to see them. I want you to stand up right now. Everybody's got somebody over yonder with Jesus. And you can't wait to see them. Can I say this to you? There's a reunion day coming. Honey, just as sure as the Word of God is the truth, just as sure as Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, I'm telling you, beloved, glad day, wonderful day. There's a reunion day coming for the children of God. You can be seated. Let me say this to you. There's a part of us right now. It's human. It's the human part. When I ask about that loved one, you know, you thought about that loved one. Is that right? You should have. That's that human part. But if I understand the Bible correctly, we're going to be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the dead in Christ shall rise. Now listen to me. Having been changed, Brother Steve, let me put it like this. Do you think my daddy's going to be the first one I want to see? Do you think my mama's going to be the first one? I don't think so, Brother Steve. Having been changed, Brother Thurman, I believe I'm going to run to Jesus. There'll be plenty of time to see Mama. Plenty of time to see Grandpa. Plenty of time to see Granny. Plenty of time to see my Uncle Bill that died at 18 years old, crippled up, fed like a baby, diapered like a baby. There'll be plenty of time. But I believe we're going to take off for Jesus. Brother Ralph, I believe we'll fall at his feet. I believe we'll begin to thank him and begin to praise him. You know what we ought to do on the way? We ought to practice. Amen. We ought to make sure we bow once in a while and say, God, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just come to thank you. There's a reunion day coming. And Lord, you're going to be right in the middle of it all. Going to be the center of attraction. Glad day. Wonderful day. That will be a happy day. A glorious day. Can we sing that this morning, Brother Ralph? Can we? Is that in the book? Let's sing that in the invitation here in a minute. You say you're not done? I'm almost done. Listen. Man got saved. He and his wife got saved out of Catholicism. They got sitting under a pastor that was preaching the Word of God. They learned about the resurrection. They learned about Jesus coming. They learned that he could come any day. They were happy now because they were ready if he came. They were believers. They were born again. They had a hope that was real. Their hope wasn't in religion. Their hope was in a relationship with Jesus. Two guys came by and knocked on the door. Selling cemetery plots. They put on their big spiel and they told all about the price and all about the different locations, the different cemeteries where they had plots available. when they got done with their presentation, they said, do you have any questions? He said, yes, sir. They said, what's your question? He said, do you have any of them to rent? He said, man, we've never been asked a question like that before. He said, why would you ask such a question? He said, because I ain't going to need it long. He said, Jesus is coming. And I'm not going to be in there long. Would you just rent me one? Beloved, listen. I'm glad this grave is not final. Say amen. For the child of God, the best is yet to come. But let me turn that around. A man that dies without God, a woman, a boy, a girl, a teenager that dies without God, the worst is yet to come. The best you'll experience it right here in this world. I'm telling you, beloved, it's real. These words, the Bible said, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming. That's a far cry from Job's miserable comforters. I'm done after this. The home of Paul Lawrence Dunbar, a noted poet, is open to the public in Dayton, Ohio. Boy, I didn't realize that after what just went on. When Dunbar died, his mother left his room exactly as it was on the day of his death. At the desk of this brilliant man was his final poem, handwritten on a pad. After his mother passed away, her friends discovered that Paul Lawrence Dunbar's last poem had been lost forever. Because his mother had made his room into a shrine and not moved anything, the sun had bleached the ink in which the poem was written until it was invisible. And the poem was gone. And this is what the writer said, Henry Simon, if we stay in mourning, he didn't say not to mourn. He said, if we stay in mourning, we lose so much of life. The way the Bible said it is sorrow not. It didn't say sorrow not, period. But sorrow not as others which have no hope. Beloved, this morning, I'm not miserable. I have help. I have friends. I have a friend in Jesus. I'm not miserable. I have hope. I have faith. I have faith in God. And God cannot lie, said that one day Jesus will come again. Our hearts break at the loss of a loved one. They break. And they should. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. But we should not mourn to the place that we forget there's a reunion day coming for the children of God. Let me give you this. Today could be the day. Hallelujah. Today could be the day that Jesus would say, come up in there. What a blessing that's going to be for every child of God. Let's bow our heads this morning.